by special. Senate Committee on Veterans Emergency Preparedness will come to order. Colleagues, Madam Vice Chair. Indecision is the key to flexibility.
Well, okay. Every year, the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs publishes a 2016 annual report to the governor. And I don't know if any of you have looked at this, but it's really, they have some awesome stories in here. ODVA has been an advocate in the corner of veterans and their families for now over 70 years. And for the first time in history, we now have four generations. We're serving four generations of veterans who have served in our military. And the stories in here are about some of those veterans. Our veterans, they've fought in five major wars, and they've really stood guard over our peace. And I just wanted everyone to know about the stories of the Oregon veterans. I have one in my office, and if you ever get a chance to read this, it's fun to see what our veterans are doing in Oregon. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. And I also remind everybody, if you go out on the front steps and go to the left or you go to the right of the front steps, there's actually a Medal of Honor area on both sides, which is always interesting to look at because it goes back to long before anyone was born in this room. Colleagues, if you're here for, in any ways here for HB 2933, we're going to carry that over because we're waiting for an amendment. And we do have Senator Roblin here. And so what we're going to do is open a public hearing and work session on HCR 30. If you'd be kind, Senator, and Council, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, HCR 30 recognizes two brothers, Hospitalman Charles Johnson and Staff Sergeant Clifford Johnson, for their service and sacrifice during the Vietnam War.
Thank you, Chair Boquist and committee, for the honor to be here to represent some brothers who died who we think originated from Lincoln County in my district. For the record, Arnie Roblin, Senate District 5. These are always really important things to me. Our family was very quiet about military service that our families had. They felt that was just their responsibility, and in doing so, my wife's family, five of the six kids were all in the war, in the Second World War, so they had five-star family, and we've had a lot of conversations with them. Most of them are now deceased, but it was an important part of their lives. Uncle was a prisoner of war in the Second World War and then went back to Korea and to the other kinds of things. So military service has always been a part of who we are, both my wife and I and our families. And when I heard about this, it became clear that I needed to help deal with recognizing these two brothers that really don't have any history any longer. Both parents are deceased. There's no other remaining family members, and we haven't, and people did a search to try to figure out if there were people. We couldn't find any. But and so not many families can understand the loss of a child, but to lose two sons on two different occasions to the emotional toll of war is a massive burden for any family to carry. There are only 39 families, as we heard this morning, in the U.S. that share this tragic experience, four in Oregon, the Wright family, the Borings, the Roden family of Jackson County, and the Evans family of Klamath, and the Johnson family, possibly of Lincoln County. Because no record remains, it is difficult to identify the family history. At the time the brothers' death, both parents lived in Portland. There is no surviving relatives that the intensive research could identify. For a family that had already paid a high price for war, I feel a special sense of honor to be able to testify today in remembrance of the sacrifice of this extraordinary family who has given so much to the service of our country. Charles Eugene Johnson was born October 21, 1944, enlisted in the United States Navy in December of 1961, re-enlisted in March 1963, and was honorably discharged in February 1966. He again reenlisted in the Navy in June of 1967 and was sent to Vietnam. He was a United States Navy Hospital Corpsman, HN Hospitalman E3, assigned to the headquarters of Special Company 2nd Battalion, 7th Marine Regiment, 1st Marine Division, 3rd Marine Amphibious Force. He succumbed to hostile enemy fire in Quang Nang Province, South Vietnam, on February 8, 1968, at the age of 23. Younger brother Staff Sergeant Clifford Johnson was born January 26, 1949. In 1970, was a United States Army soldier assigned to the 3rd Battalion C Company, 1st Battalion, 52nd Infantry Regiment, 198th Infantry Brigade, AmeriCal Division, United States Army, Vietnam. Staff Sergeant Clifford Johnson was mortally wounded by hostile enemy fire in Quang Nang Province, South Vietnam. 5 months later, he succumbed to his wounds on December 26, 1970, at the age of 21. Both brothers were awarded the National Defense Service Medal, the Republic of Vietnam Campaign Medal, the Vietnam Service Medal, and the Purple Heart. House Concurrent Resolution 30 recognizes and honors Hospitalman Charles Johnson and Staff Sergeant Clifford Johnson and their families for the sacrifice during the Vietnam War. One last comment about that. It was always weird to me. My uncle, who was a Army Air Force veteran of the Second World War, was shot down. He did get a Purple Heart. But my mother was married previous to my father to a Navy person whose ship was lost at sea during the Second World War, and she also received a Purple Heart. I always thought it was strange that the only recognition, regardless of wounded or death, was a Purple Heart. And I understand part of the significance of that, but it's still, in my family, I didn't know that my sister had a different father than I, because my father came back from the war, felt that was his daughter, because this bond that happens in war between different people. And so they never thought we needed to bring it up. And they gave the a friend of mine told me I had a half-sister, and I couldn't believe it. So we went home, and then we had this big conversation when I was about 7 years old with my sister and my mom and my dad, and got to see the Purple Heart and had this conversation. And didn't know until my sister graduated from high school that since the time that he was missing in action to the time of my sister turning 18, my parents were getting some money. We did not have a lot of money in our family, but every penny went into a fund so that my mother and father could give that to my sister from her father when she graduated from high school, paid for college, and I'm proud to represent this family.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Morgan, you want to come and join us? Comments?
Any questions?
No.
I'm going to head over to the money. Thank you.
Mr. Morgan?
Yes.
We might as well do you before we move on.
Moving a little slow these days.
I resemble that remark.
Chair Boquist and Vice Chair Mons Anderson and committee members, it's my privilege and honor to come before you today as not only a national director of the VVA, but as president of the Oregon State Council of the VVA chapters here in Oregon. The Vietnam Veterans of America was congressionally chartered in 1978, and they have a basic founding principle that never again will one generation of veterans be abandoned by another. We have never failed to abide by this principle. We've worked hard for the benefits of and rights of all veterans, be they World War II, Korea, Vietnam, or any of the wars since. Today I will share the testimony of Stephen L. Bates, Chair of the Committee on Memorials and Remembrance, out of Boring. 39 families, American families, who experienced the loss of not one son, but twice, and four of those families are in Oregon. Oregon has more than its share of double Gold Star families. We should have paid those families proper recognition for their sacrifice long ago. One of these families no longer exists except in the hearts of the friends and neighbors who knew them. And with your permission, I will share Mr. Bates' testimony. The Committee on Memorials and Remembrance identified four families in Oregon that lost two sons in the Vietnam War. It's terrible to lose one child, but to lose two is exceptional. 39 families in the United States share this experience. Our committee has made a commitment to honor the four families that sacrificed so much: the Wright family of Boring, the Rowden family of Jackson County, the Evans family of Klamath County, and today, we wish to honor the Johnson family. Our research has demonstrated that each of these families have compelling stories. The Johnson family story is the most heart-wrenching. We have found surviving family members of each of the two Gold Star families, with the exception of the Johnson family. And it is imperative that we, as Oregon citizens, stand up to honor and remember the sacrifice and loss of this family. Please accept the following points of our research. Lewis Johnson married Helen Gordon, and they had four children, Charles, Calista, Clifford, and Gordon. Research on this family has been difficult. We identified that Charles attended Toledo High School, and Charles Eugene Johnson enlisted in the Navy in December 61 at the age of 17. He was honorably discharged in 66, only to reenlist in 67, less than 3 months after his reenlistment. He was in Vietnam. He was a medic assigned to the 7th Marines and was killed outright in a hostile engagement February 8, 1968, at the age of 23. At the time of Charles' death, we have been able to identify that his parents lived in Portland, and we have not been able to locate any information on the father, Lewis A. Johnson. Clifford Thomas Johnson was drafted into the Army. He was an infantryman and achieved the rank of sergeant. He was involved in a hostile engagement and sustained wounds on December 7, 1970. Sergeant Thomas died of those wounds almost 3 weeks later on December 26, 1970, at the age of 21. And both the Johnson brothers were single at the time of death, and they had no dependents. Their sister, Calista, married Stephen Elia, and they had a daughter. Stephen, Calista, and their daughter, Shannon, are deceased. Their brother, Gordon, is also deceased. Their mother, Helen, died in 2005, and this branch of the Johnson family tree is dead. There's no surviving relatives that we can find. Tony Molina is a president of Vietnam Veterans of America, chapter 411 in Lincoln City in Newport, advised that Helen Johnson contacted him in 1992 asking that the names of her two sons be placed on the Newport Vietnam Memorial, as they lived in Toledo when the boys were young. This is the only contact with the Johnson family we have on record. There are no surviving family members to remember and honor the Johnson brothers. It is important that we honor and remember the sacrifice of this family. We ask that this resolution be passed to the Senate floor with a do adopt recommendation so that we can honor the Johnson family. The resolution, when passed, will enable the process for signage and dedication of a portion of State Highway 20 in Lincoln County as the Fallen Hero Memorial Highway in memory of Naval Hospitalman Charles Eugene Johnson and Army Sergeant Clifford Johnson. Respectfully submitted, Stephen L. Bates, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
No, thank you. We normally hold these over, but as the session is winding down, we are in work session right now, Madam Vice Chair.
Okay. Chair Boquist, I move HCR 30 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Honorable Madam Vice Chair Monis Anderson moves HCR 30 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. We will ask Senator Roblin to be the primary carrier. And if Senator Olson does return, then we'll have him carry it. So with that, we're going to close the public hearing on HCR 30. Representative, if you'd be kind enough, we're going to open the public hearing on HCR 36. If you would, please, counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, HCR 36 recognizes and honors Lance Corporal Ty Lewis Hart.
Thank you, Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, State Representative Jody Hack, representing House District 19. Today I have the honor of bringing to you Memorial HCR 36, honoring Lance Corporal Ty Hart. This is one of those memorials that are is just very near and dear to my family. Ty grew up with my children. My memories of Ty are of him running around in his rubber boots and his little shorts, then in his football gear, and then in his uniform as a helicopter crew chief with the Marines. Ty Hart died on January 14th when two helicopters collided during a nighttime training exercise in Hawaii, killing 12 men. I'm sure many of you saw that on the news. Ty graduated from Staten High School. He was married during the summer of 2015 to his wife, Hannah. That was the last time our family saw Ty, was at his wedding. He's survived by his parents, Trina and Mike, and his two brothers, Greg and Alan. Ty was laid to rest on April 17th at his family farm in Almsville. He joined the Marines on August 8th in 2012, and he was 21 years of age when he was killed in the helicopter crash. His mom couldn't be here today, neither could his dad. They came when we did this on the house side. His mom did, and his wife, Hannah. His dad was not able to be there on the house floor. It was too much for him. But this is something that we can do to honor him and his service and the sacrifice that his family has made. So I would just ask that you would adopt HCR 36 and pass the resolution.
Thank you, Representative. And Mr. President, as I noted before, generally we carry these over, but in the end of the session, we are in work session, Madam Vice Chair.
Chair Boquist, I move HCR 36 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair, Mona Sanders moves HCR 36 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. I believe Senator Winters will ask her to carry it, if that's
okay
great. With you.
Thank you. Okay. And just, if I may, on behalf of the family and myself and so many others, thank you for doing that today. Just respect you so much for hearing it, and thank you for moving it today.
It is always a difficult challenge with these.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
With that, we're going to close the public hearing in HCR 36 and open a work session on 2100A. If you would please, counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2100A is the measure that designates a portion of U.S. Highway 20 between Newport and the Idaho state line, the Oregon Medal of Honor Highway. It has a dash A6 amendment that permits rather than requires ODOT to install additional road signs and rest areas and turnouts in addition to the ones along Highway 20, identifying current and future individual Medal of Honor recipients. Some of the content was reorganized with the amendment, and some technical changes were made, such as the number of wards from 7 to 8 and the number of communities associated with recipients from 11 to 12. It also makes reference to HCR 1 from this session and lists each community that's been designated as a Medal of Honor community, and it describes the intent to install signs for individual recipients in corresponding communities. There was a minimal fiscal and no revenue impact. It was previously heard on April the 25th.
And colleagues, you recall this came out of the House, and I want to thank Director Garrett from ODART and Mr. Tobiasen for working together to come up with some resolutions so that the House intent was held, and we are in work session for the A6, Madam Vice Chair.
Yes, Chair Boquist, I move to adopt the A-6 amendment dated 5/17/2017 into
Bill 2100A. Madam Vice Chair, Mona Sanders moves to adopt the A6 amendment dated 5/17/2017 to 2100. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. Madam Vice Chair.
Chair Boquist, I move HB 2100A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair, Mona Sanders moves 2100A6 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Canope will carry the bill. Thank you. With that, we're going to close the public or the work session on 2100. HB 2933 is going to be carried over as LFO works on some language, and we're going to open HCR 25. Council, if you would briefly, and then Madam Vice Chair.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, HCR 25 was previously heard on the 16th. This is the resolution that recognizes and honors Sergeant Adam Humidor. There is no fiscal or revenue impact.
Chair Boquist, I move to adopt the dash one amendments dated 3/15/2017.
Senator Vice Chair Monis Anderson moves the A1 amendments dated 3/15/17 to HCR 25. For discussion, for opposition, seeing none, so ordered.
Chair Boquist, I move HCR 25 as amended to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Amended Vice Chair Monis Anderson moves HCR 25 as amended to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there discussion? Opposition, seeing none, so ordered. Madam Vice Chair, you want to carry this?
He's from Gresham.
Okay. And Madam Vice Chair will carry HCR 25. With that, we're going to close the work session, HCR 25. Open HCR 26 as a work session.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, HCR 26 recognizes Private First Class Thomas Tucker for his service to his country. There's no fiscal or revenue impact. This was also heard on May 16th.
Chair Boquist, I move HCR 26 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair Monis Anderson moves HCR 26 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation and notices that her computer is making noise. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Olson is scheduled to carry this. If he doesn't return, I will carry it. Okay. With that, we're going to close the work session on HCR 26 and open a work session on HCR 27.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, HCR 27, also heard on May 16th, recognizes and honors Corporal Jessica A. Ellis. There's no fiscal and no revenue impact.
Chair Boquist, I hate this. Okay. Chair Boquist, I move HCR 27 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair Monis Anderson moves HCR 27 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there discussions or opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Knope will carry HCR 27, and we're opening HCR 28 as a work session.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, forgive me. HCR
28
recognizes First Lieutenant Justin Wilkins for his service to us. This was heard on May 16th, and there's no fiscal and no revenue.
Chair Boquist, I move HCR 28 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
And Vice Chair Monis Anderson moves HCR 28 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Knope will carry that. With that, we're going to open a work session, HCR 29.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, HCR 29 recognizes and honors Lance Corporal Randy Lee Newman. This was also heard on May 16th, and there's no fiscal.
Boquist, I move HCR 29 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Senator Vice Chair Monis Anderson moves HCR 29 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Knope will carry HCR 29. We will close and open a work session on HCR 30, which is the last bill of the day.
Council,
if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, forgive me, I miswrote.
This is HDR.
Six.
That one, we're going to, my mistake, we're going to open work session HDM 6.
HJM 6 is a memorial that urges mandatory funding of veterans' health care by Congress. It was heard also on May 16th. There's no fiscal or revenue impact.
Madam
Chair Boquist, I move HJM 6 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair Monis Anderson moves HJM 6 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. This is Senator Olson's bill. If he is not back, I will carry for it. And with that, we're going to close the work session in HDM 6. And with that, colleagues, our next meeting is with the one bill we have carried over, which is 2933. So when is our next meeting?
Mr. Chair, we have an agenda available this Thursday for the purpose of carrying over. We've typically not met on Thursdays, but we'll move the bill to that day.
Okay.
Do we meet on Thursday?
We have an agenda set aside since we're close to the deadline.
When's the deadline?
The deadline is next week.
A week from Friday.
Well, we can carry it over to next Tuesday then, right?
You can set it for a date certain.
We will set it for a date certain so we don't do it
next
on Thursday.
Next Tuesday instead of Thursday.
Next Tuesday. And what we're expecting, colleagues, is an amendment to ensure that we don't have any runaway spending on that particular bill at some point in the future. Colleagues, with that, we are done for the day, and so we are... the day, and so we are adjourned. We are done.